All right, guys, welcome back to Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. This is episode 62, and I'm sitting here on Skype with Moritz Batscheider.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, my friend. It's been a long week since we saw each other, but it's always a pleasure. And just here at the top of the show, just want to give a little shout out to those who have already gone to Apple Podcasts and iTunes or wherever you listen, and you've already given us a review or a comment, a share, a like, and the such. If you haven't done that and you enjoy the show, please go do that because it really helps new listeners find us. That's how the algorithm works. It's a crazy game. It's a really crazy world, but that really helps us a lot. And if you support the show, that really does wonders for us. You can also go to Instagram at Artsy Fartsy Immigrants and give us a follow. Or if you, you know, if you are an Artsy Fartsy immigrant or you know someone who'd like to be on the show, if you have a question or a comment about something we've touched on, you can always DM us on there or send us an email to podcast@m945.de. And as always, if you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to patreon.com/jordanprince. And there you can, for as low as something like $3 a month, you can pay towards the show because we're trying to get more into live stream recording and video podcasting and to make the show bigger and better for those who have been with us for a long time. So it really helps us out. And yeah, we love you. All right, my friend, we are on the second half of 100 episodes right now. I am really stoked. We're almost there.
Yeah. Like we can already see the top, kind of.
Yeah. So last week you finished your huge winter sport job on, was it last Wednesday morning or was it last Tuesday?
Yeah, Wednesday morning, yeah.
Okay, so tell us what you've been up to since you got off, because I like to imagine that you had your feet up in just your boxers with you're not smoking anymore, but maybe like a big corn cob, like Lord of the Rings pipe with John Wick in the background and a Nintendo Switch in your hands.
Yeah, that sounds nice, most part of it. But yeah, actually, I have not been up to that much since, I don't know, because I also wanted to say regarding that we're slowly getting to this number of 100 episodes, like it really are those tiny little peaks, those tiny little highlights you see in the stuff you do every day, because you can see them there in a kind of, I don't want to say end of the light of the tunnel, but this, yeah, those kind of highlights you see because you don't see them, I don't know, when you go outside. Like, it's really frustrating how we're seem to go again. Yeah, but and regarding that, I also, yeah, spent most of the time at home, actually. A lot of reading, watching some good documentaries.
What did you watch in terms of documentary? I'm curious.
I watched this one Biggie Smalls documentary that was kind of promoted everywhere.
That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was pretty cool because I already knew a lot about him, but they kind of found cool interview partners to talk about him. Like they, for example, were having this one, he also worked with pretty famous musicians. Like he worked with Miles Davis, etc.
Biggie Smalls did?
No, but this guy, I don't remember his name, but he's a saxophone player, a jazz player. Uh-huh. And he lived what's the street? Fulton Street, I guess. Right next door to where B.I.G.'s mom used to live.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm
he was for a period he was kind of trying to take care of him and to show him music and to get him off the streets, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And people like that. And so it was like cool. And then I watched this one thing. Did you or do you know this kind of series Last Chance U?
I saw that advertised, but I didn't check it out. I didn't even watch the trailer for that. What is that?
So it's a, they already did one or two series with football teams, and I didn't watch those because I still don't have this connection to football. But
the format, right, sure.
The format is they went to, like, when they started this thing with a football team to a, I guess it was a community college or something, and portrayed like young college athletes that kind of might have some form of background with, I don't know, whatever, like lived through really shitty things or have a background with a criminal scene or whatever, like those kind of people that kind of find their way back into society over sports, and it's kind of their last chance. Like, they play the season at this community college for and it's their last chance to kind of, I don't know, maybe get a scholarship at a Division I university or something.
Ah, okay. So these are guys that came out of homes of like domestic abuse, or they came out of like a history of drug abuse, for
whatever.
Example.
I don't know the cases in detail for what they did with the football team, but that's the format. And now they did the same thing with a basketball team. And since basketball is more of my sports, I enjoy.
Yeah, sure.
And so I watched that, and it was super nice. It was about the Eastern Los Angeles Community College. Was like a what do you call it, junior college,
or community college? Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and it's also pretty interesting because it ends with their season being interrupted and then canceled due to the beginning of the COVID pandemic. But yeah, they portrayed this coach and his team over one season until COVID came. And dude, they're like characters. The team captain, one of their guards, he lost both of his parents when he was 14 and 15, and lives on his own. And kids with backgrounds like that. But it has super intense scenes. There are obviously a lot of sports scenes, like games.
Sure. Some them, highlights.
But also if you're not too deep into basketball, like besides that, there are like little storylines and good interviews and scenes that go beyond it.
Speaking of like really good basketball documentaries, did you ever watch the classic one, Hoop Dreams?
No, sadly not.
Man, I watched that. I didn't watch it that long ago, actually. It came out in 94. And I remember it being kind of one of those, it's hard to say, but I think it was one of those, you know, highly spoken about, sort of famously circulating tales of, you know, true accomplishment, the American dream sort of thing. Yeah. And when you go to film school and stuff, they always kind of drag around a few similar names in terms of like things you have to watch. And I remember Hoop Dreams coming up, but I just didn't check it out. And then maybe a couple of years ago, maybe even like 1 or 2 years ago, maybe like 2019, I finally watched it. And if you've got, I mean, you can watch it in pieces. It's just under 3 hours long, which is kind of unbelievable. It's pretty long, but it's really, I mean, it's just a masterpiece. It really is what they were talking about, or what the rumors were, you know, when you were growing up or hearing about it. But it's really amazing, man. Like, if you want to see, like, perhaps one of the most authentic stories of how, underprivileged, undereducated, impoverished, inner city African American kids kind of look towards basketball or sports in general, but usually basketball in those areas, as an escape or an opportunity to a better life.
Yeah.
And then you follow two kids, and one of them gets pretty far to an, I don't want to like spoil everything, but like one of them goes in this pretty cool path, and then one of them maybe doesn't get the same exact chance and ends up going a different way. And it's such a, like, sometimes it's really painful and sometimes it's really heartfelt. And other times it's really inspiring and you're kind of like, oh man, this is really how it works with these, you know, college scouts, with these high school varsity scouts and these championships, and how much pressure they put on themselves and all the relationship they have to their number and to their shoes and to their community and what that might mean for their parents. And it's crazy, man. It's really good. Hoop Dreams is
Really, and really good. And that's also the point of this last chance you, show, because they point out pretty well, and that for the kids at this community college, like, the ultimate goal is not, as you would imagine, being an NBA pro. Like, I would imagine, like, people I grew up with that had these kind of ambitions to becoming a pro athlete, or some of them becoming pro athletes actually, but the path was so clear, and the ultimate goal is to be a pro athlete at the highest level. But for some of these kids, they really point out good, and they have great interviews there. They say things like, they don't care whether they make it to the NBA or not. They don't care whether they play in the development league or overseas or in China or wherever, as long as they can make a living out of it and bring some money home to their families.
Oh man, that's incredible. That's really incredible. That actually makes me think about, did you know that they were making a, I guess you do know this now because it's pretty mainstream news, but they're making a Space Jam 2?
Yeah. I'm already waiting for so long because, you know, being a basketball fan, you would all, since, I don't know, 2 years or 3 years, you would always get like little reminders that it's coming. Like at one point, it was leaked that LeBron James would act in it. I don't know, like 8 months later, the shirt, the uniform he would wear was leaked, and so on and so on.
Oh man. Yeah, you can see here, if you even just Google Space Jam 2, there's like this obvious photoshopped fan photo of LeBron with I forgot the name of the enemy team, like not the All-Stars, the Monstars, that's it. You can see him kind of photoshopped in with them. But, I mean, it's straight up legit now. I mean, they have Space Jam, A New Legacy. I can't believe it's with LeBron. I was so, so hoping they would bring Jordan out of retirement, especially after The Last Dance came out. I was like, what if he made a cameo in this movie? But it looks like
we still don't know it. That could be something that
That could happens. Come back. Like, oh man, Jim Carrey's listed in part of the cast. I wonder if he's one of the Monstars, probably.
Probably he's the new Bill Murray.
Oh, the new... he might be the new Bill Murray. Oh, that would be perfect for him. That would be perfect. Let me look at this cast. Oh man, they got Don Cheadle, Jim Carrey. Okay, LeBron James. For basketball fans, they got Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis. Pretty much legends there. Oh my goodness. Steve Harvey, Gabriel Iglesias.
Probably Michael they are B. the Jordan. Monstars.
Wow. Who's Gary Oldman? Lawrence Fishburne. Man, they got some all stars in here. Christopher McDonald. I eat shit like you for breakfast. You eat shit for breakfast? I don't know if you ever saw Happy Gilmore, that's my favorite line. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, sure.
I love Happy Gilmore. That's my favorite.
Dude,
line.
They have a guy on when you Google the cast, they have a guy lined up here named Michael B. Jordan.
You don't know him?
No, I don't know him. I just thought it would be a joke because of MJ.
I mean, that would be perfect, right? To have Michael Jordan and Michael B. Jordan. Oh, dude, Michael B. Jordan is pretty huge. He was on The Wire. He was in a few like big TV shows like Friday Night Lights and Parenthood. But he's also the main villain in Black Panther.
Sure.
You know, they got Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, then that main villain is, that's Michael B. Jordan.
No.
Oh man, that's oh, but he's great in the. I forgot he's also in The Wire. Like he's in the first season. I think that's from like 2002. Oh, that's funny. If you Google Michael B. Jordan TV shows, a very popular people also ask question is, what does Michael B. Jordan smell like? And somebody has an answer.
Okay, they say, what did he say?
I can confirm he does have a woody scent, but it's actually mixed with spicy cardamom, nashi pear, and vetiver. Basically, he smells cozy. It's from Elle magazine. My goodness.
He smells cozy? I'll smell cozy.
He smells cozy. I want to smell cozy. Yeah.
Man. Do you know this meme, like, where they... Do you know this web format where they have celebrities reading like hater tweets about themselves?
Oh yeah, isn't that on and the Jimmy Kimmel thing?
Yeah, could be. And there's like this
celebrity
one,
reading mean tweets.
Yeah, exactly. And there's this one meme out of it where one Twitter user it was with Cardi B. And she was reading a tweet that said Cardi something something, and she also looks loud. And then she wonders for like 30 seconds on camera, how does loud even look?
I mean, in all honesty, Cardi B does look loud. You know, she does look loud. Oh, did you see the Grammys? Did you see anything from the Grammys? I know that she and Megan Thee Stallion were there for their song WAP.
Yeah, it was a huge success.
I guess they had like, I don't know what they won. I don't know if it was single of the year. Let me look at these.
But did you see this meme at least? Like this, or was it TikTok? Like where... a mom is coming back to her car, like her little child was sitting in there for like a minute or something, and she sits in and turns on the radio, and this song comes up, and when they come home, her baby starts singing it.
Wait, say that again?
Like her baby was singing...
Oh, WAP.
WAP.
Oh wow! Okay, that's funny. I'm looking at the list here on Vulture, but it looks... Oh, now what I list? Understand what they're doing.
Okay,
now I understand.
I think we somehow have lost path here a little bit.
That's okay. I'm kind of in a I'm in a flowy mood. Let's see. So winners. Okay, record of the year was Billie Eilish. Man, she knocked down another Grammy. That's impressive. I thought it was going to be here's a game. Don't look it up. I want to be the one with the screen and we can do a little guess game here. Record of the year, we already spoiled that one. Everything I Wanted by Billie Eilish. I would have guessed perhaps Black Parade by Beyoncé because that was really really cool, or
yeah, but they could not do that because there's only one Black Parade album. Sorry Beyoncé. Love you, but
sorry Beyoncé.
Dude, My Chemical Romance, The Black Parade.
Oh, right. Oh, is, wow.
Is, when I was a was young such boy. A banger.
Okay, so here's what we have nominated for Album of the Year. Do you already know the Album of the Year winner?
Nope.
Perfect. Okay, so Album of the Year nominations are Chilumbo from Jhené Aiko, Black Puma, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, and I apologize. Black Pumas from Black Pumas. Everyday Life by Coldplay. DeJesse Volume 3 from Jacob Collier. Women in Music Part 3 from Haim. That was a good record. Future Nostalgia from Dua Lipa. Also good. Hollywood's Bleeding from Post Malone. Or Folklore by Taylor Swift. Who do you think won? Jhené Aiko, Black Pumas, Coldplay, Jacob Collier, Haim, Dua Lipa, Post Malone, Taylor Swift. That's a lot of nominations.
So the thing is, I know that because by chance I've seen something. I know that Dua Lipa has won a Grammy, but I'm not sure if she probably has won several, or another one, or if it is that one.
For each category, you have the right to ask for one tip, so that you can have a fair guess. So do you want your tip on this category, album of the year?
Okay.
The tip is that it is not Dua Lipa.
Okay, great. So, and where we had Taylor Swift, Black Pumas. Black Pumas are actually a great band. Do you know them?
I don't know them.
They're actually pretty cool. Kind of a pretty fresh, like, mixed funk and soul sound. But also seen, they were one of the bands I was watching a live show on YouTube on with a beer and snacks because I couldn't go to a concert. But no, Black Pumas, cool band. Taylor Swift, Beyonce, and Dua Lipa.
It's no, album of the year is Black Pumas, Coldplay Jacob Collier. You know Jacob Collier, huh?
Yeah, it's this. Okay. He's the guy every musician hates.
Well, I think he'd be like a cool guy to hang out with for a day in the studio because I think you could learn something. But I think he'd be annoying after a while because he's kind of, I mean, he's insane, but he's also a genius. You know, it's one of those people.
Yeah, and I don't mean it that bad. Like, I mean, you see him and you hate him for how crazy good he is at everything.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's right. That's it. Yeah, I watched, I think his first, like when they did the Tiny Desk concert before.
Yeah,
it was,
dude.
That one before it was at home, like mm-hmm. the first one he did. And that's just, I mean, that's,
but
I
like I really appreciate how good he is.
It's crazy.
But I still don't like the music crazy. That much, I gotta admit.
Well, here's the fair thing. His first Tiny Desk, there was like two out of the three songs he did that were so incredible. I couldn't believe my ears. Like, how is someone so genius?
Dude, by the way, didn't we watch that video together for the first time? When we both saw it the first time?
No, I don't think that was that one. I think I watched this one in my living room. I think it was like 1 week when Efi was gone was...
But never mind, sorry.
No. But I watched it and then I thought, man, this is so incredible. This is so new and spectacular. And I went to Spotify and the album version I didn't like. And I didn't save the songs. I just keep going back to the Tiny Desk when I want to hear it because
yeah,
the live version
I mean.
it was like stripped down and it was kind of differently arranged. But did you check out the new Haim record, the Women in Music Part 3?
Nope.
That one has, I would say it's not my favorite record of all time. I think it's very like in the moment, this kind of record.
Like who's the record?
Haim, Haim. Do you know them?
Haim. No.
It's three girls. I think they're two sisters and a friend or three sisters. They are good. They have good songs. And I think that record has like three pretty cool tracks.
And they're nominated for best album.
Yeah. So it's Black Pumas, Coldplay, Jacob Collier, Haim, Dua Lipa, Post Malone, Taylor Swift. Do you have a guess?
So it's not Dua Lipa.
It's not Dua Lipa. And I mean, I'll be fair, it's not Jacob Collier, obviously.
Like,
he's too jazzy.
The thing is, there have been a few years now where Taylor Swift would be a no-brainer. But I'm not sure this year.
Five.
Or Post Malone or Coldplay. Like, dude.
Four.
I still three. Go with Taylor Swift.
You are right. It's Folklore by Taylor Swift.
Woo! Nice.
Wow. That's awesome.
But didn't she actually have like cool features on this album?
I did not listen to Folklore.
I
didn't check
it
out.
But like I saw something. Who did she?
Oh my goodness. I'm looking at the Song of the Year list and I almost don't know anybody. I don't even want to make this a guessing game because it wouldn't even be fair to you that I don't know anybody. I know Billie Eilish, I know Beyonce, I know Post Malone, but there are so many people that won this that I have no idea who they are. That's crazy. Song of the Year was Dernst Emil II, H.E.R., and Tiara Thomas for their song I Can't Breathe. I have not... I Can't Breathe. Okay, I'm sure that was a politically charged song. I did not hear that song. Okay, here we go. Best New Artist. Here we go. Ingrid Andress, don't know who that person is. Phoebe Bridgers, who is amazing. Chika, C-H-I-K-A.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Cyrus, not Miley. D Smoke, Doja Cat. K Tranada, and Megan Thee Stallion. So, like,
four, I've heard of them.
Right.
Probably, like,
I think it's like 50-50 for me. There's a half of them that I've never heard of.
Okay, but poo.
But you can ask what your tip will be. So what, you can ask
what's
one
my
question.
What's my tip?
No, you can ask. You can ask a question to okay. get the tip. Okay, that's okay. What I guess I should have said that you get a question.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. So we again had Billie Eilish, Post Malone. Who else? Billie Eilish, Post Malone.
Right. So yeah.
Doja Cat.
No, not Billie Eilish. Not Billie Eilish. She's not the new artist. She got that last year. So there's Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, we're at new artist. I thought we were talking about single.
No. This is best new artist.
Okay.
Ingrid Andress, Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah.
Chika, Noah Cyrus.
Okay.
D Smoke, Doja Cat, K Tranada, and Megan Thee Stallion.
Dude, I know this is not fair because I don't know all of them, but I would say for the sake of the jury's mind, please let it be Phoebe Bridgers.
That would have been my wish as well, but it was Megan Thee Stallion, which okay. makes sense because she had a killer 2020 with Savage and WAP. I mean, she had a killer year. That's fair as well. Here we go. This is a smaller list. This is a smaller list. This might be easier to guess.
But do this. Let's also do the weird one, like the genre ones.
The genre ones. let's do this one, and then we can because this is a really short list. So, best pop vocal album: Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga, Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, and Taylor Swift.
I think that's the one that Dua Lipa won, actually.
You'd be right. Future Nostalgia by Dua Lipa.
Two out of three, by the way.
That's not bad, dude. Honestly, that's not bad. Let me see. Oh, funny. Jacob Collier was up for an R&B performance, but that does make sense. He's kind of R&B as well. Oh, wow. A lot of names. I was looking at Best Rap Song as well, and they have a lot of producers on some of these songs. It's pretty crazy.
Okay, which category are we going for?
Let's go to... I'm just looking for a list that has enough names I can recognize for it to be a fair question. Best pop solo performance. There's Yummy by Justin Bieber, which mm-hmm. honestly is kind of a guilty pleasure for me. I thought Yummy is kind of a cool song. Say So by Doja Cat, who I don't know. Everything I Wanted by Billie Eilish. Don't Start Now, Dua Lipa. Watermelon Sugar, Harry Styles. Cardigan by Taylor Swift.
And I say it's 100% Harry Styles.
You would be right. Oh my God.
Dude, but have you... Dude, everyone who has...
amazing.
Everyone who has looked on TikTok once must have known that.
It would have been a big uproar if he had not won that because that was the most popular song ever.
You could probably, if you look at TikTok, I mean, the only one who could contest with that would be like, what's her name? Like with Savage.
Oh, Megan Thee Stallion. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But Harry Styles was all over the place.
Oh, here we go. You might know this too. I would be interested. Best rock album.
Oh,
there's
shit.
five categories. There's five nominees. Sorry. Best rock album: Fontaine's DC, which is the band. Michael Kiwanuka.
Mm-hmm.
Grace Potter. Sturgill Simpson. And The Strokes. Remember, you can question.
What's the name of The Strokes album?
The New Abnormal.
Yeah, I listened to that. I really listened to that, and I really loved it. So my heart definitely has to say the Strokes. I also listened to Mark Kiwanuka's album, and I also liked it, but I didn't find it that cool. And what was the name of the... So we have those two, and we had Fontaines. DC.
Yeah. Grace Potter and Sturgill Simpson.
Okay, I don't know these.
I know Sturgill a little bit, but he's a little bit... I think he's a bit more country.
Okay. But I would... Yeah. My heart says the Strokes.
Your heart would be right yet again, my friend. This is kind of unbelievable that you're getting these right. The new Abnormal from the Strokes.
Did you listen to that album?
That's crazy. No, I haven't heard it yet.
You gotta do it. I have
not heard it yet.
Like, I was really surprised because that's also why I was so flashed by the new Weezer album, because it was the second
was cool.
band that's been around for like at least around 15, 20 years now.
Yeah.
That still find cool, kind of new or at least different sounds and still make it a cool, like, original Stroke or Weezer album.
Who do you think did a better job of adapting to a modern audience between the new Strokes album and the new Weezer album?
I would say Weezer. Weezer, because
why?
Because I think they have more of this sense for they find a better compromise, I would say, between kind of catching up to a certain vibe in a certain time, or have a certain sense for what works good for status quo pop music. And still give it that kind of Weezer touch. And Strokes yeah. also have adapted a lot. But still it's more like a Strokes album that Strokes fans listen to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I even saw a video where someone on TikTok made fun of Pitchfork, like the infamous album review mm-hmm. site, Pitchfork. I think they really trashed the new Strokes, which was... I mean, I think if anyone has like a claim already and they try to yeah. do something new, I think Pitchfork's kind of obligated to go that they're, you know, sleeping through their new attempts or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, to put it back to those categories we're talking about, like, best rock album, Strokes, but if they both would be in the mix for best album, which they obviously are not, I would guess, or I would say Weezer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish Weezer had been on there, actually, because yeah. that would have been an interesting mix-up.
And, like it always have been, like, the Strokes are a band that have a huge fan base. But for a brighter audience, like, there's Last Night and Reptilia, like right. on festivals or even sports stadiums where they play this guitar riff and everyone goes but the rest of it is like more stuff for the fans you get through that, but there many people wouldn't get to that stage, and I think Weezer have more of this. In sports, you would say playing intelligence.
Playing intelligence?
Yeah.
Explain that?
Like, they know what their skills are, and they still know how to to bring them on the court to stay in that sports picture. but they are intelligent enough to adapt what's coming and what's changing over the years, or what a behavior to their surrounding they should not show or should not show, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you see that clip of Trevor Noah, like, kind of making fun of the UK when he was hosting the Grammys?
No. Like, there was this, that's the funny thing. That's why this quiz is so fun, because besides this one little Dua Lipa bit I saw, I didn't, and obviously the news that, like, it was Beyonce's 23rd or something
Grammy appearance at the Grammys or something. Wow.
yeah, or Grammy She Got Award, something like that. I saw the push message, but besides that, I didn't see anything.
That's cool, man. Yeah, you're doing almost almost brutally well for this game. But there was this.
I'm
clip
not sure if that's my skill, or probably also a certain level of how do you say, of
like subliminal. Maybe you've been tipped off or something, or
no? Like you could also think, okay, there's not so much interesting things and changes going on in the music business. Like you can predict what could be. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That was actually the next point I was gonna say, was just that as we were talking the last few minutes, I was scrolling through looking for the next thing, and I got to a few categories that I forgot that they do at the Grammys, which like best soundtrack, best original score, stuff like that. And man, there are so many things that are, you know, and even best best comedy album. Like I'm a really, 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 really big fan of stand-up comedy, and I think I've watched almost everybody's, even like the YouTube ones.
There's a Grammy for comedy.
Yeah, there's comedy albums when people release like a stand-up special on Netflix or something. There's maybe like an album of it. And there are so many typical expected nominees. I mean, there's a few people that I love. I mean, I love Tiffany Haddish and Patton Oswalt. I love Jim Gaffigan. I love Bill Burr. And I don't dislike Jerry Seinfeld. I really like Jerry Seinfeld, but I think it's kind of expected that a legend like him would come back after a long time and do kind of a random special out of nowhere, and then be nominated for a Grammy like that. It's, you know, it's just kind of expected at this. It'd be like if it was like best interview, they'd be like, well, Oprah, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like there are so many new opportunities for interesting Grammy nominations to kind of look around, but they, I think that's also why you're maybe guessing so well, is because it's kind of expected. It's kind of obvious, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have like, okay, well, who's the most popular, like crazy popular people that you've heard of in the past 3 years or 2 years? You've got Bieber, Dua Lipa, Billie Eilish, you know, the Strokes.
Beyonce,
yes. Megan Thee Stallion, she was everywhere last year. I'm surprised that Jacob Collier is on there, but I'm also kind of not, because he went viral for his crazy music stuff in the last like 18 months or so.
Yeah, and probably because he already... I'm not sure how huge his success as a recording or plus or performing artist was pre-COVID, but I guess what really could have affected his success is that he already pre-COVID like produced this kind of content music fans were craving for once they were sitting at home, nobody was going to concerts anymore. Like spectacular things you can watch on YouTube or whatever,
right? Like when he did this viral Happy New Year,
yeah, exactly,
on the MIDI. For those who haven't seen that, basically when you're recording music through like a digital audio software,
we can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we can put the link in the. I'll put that down. Collier Happy New Year show notes. For those who, like for my mom or people, for example, who maybe haven't seen this kind of thing before, basically when you're recording on a program and you're recording through a keyboard that you can replace all the sounds on, like it doesn't just sound like a piano, but I have one of these and a lot of people have these where you can replace the sounds with drums or with synth or whatever. This kind of keyboard is called a MIDI, M-I-D-I keyboard. And when you're recording one of these things, you see this picture on your recording program that's looks a bit like graph paper. There's, you know, the whole screen is like charts, like little squares all the way up and down and to the side, and these are your notes, and they're separated by the time signature and by the rhythm and stuff. And when you play a note, to the left is sort of a graphic image of a keyboard, so the higher that the note is, like if you go several octaves up on a note, the higher it is on the picture, like towards the top of the screen, the lower the note is, like the doom, 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 boom, that's lower on the picture. So you get a visual image of the things you're playing. And that's great for if you're trying to build harmonies, you can do like a C major. And then you see it sort of in the center of the screen, this little dot, and you click it and that's your note that you played. And then you can add, you know, little notes above that, and you can drag and drop, and you can build harmonies and build these structures and stuff. I hope that's making sense. But basically, you play something and you can see it. And what he does in this video that he went pretty viral for, he even got featured on Jimmy Kimmel for this.
Yeah.
He does like a little TikTok video where he waves over to a camera like, hey, come here, look at this. And he sits down really fast. And then he plays these extremely somehow connected, congruent, strange, like very, very complicated piano chords. And in this MIDI structure spells out the word Happy New Year in chords. And it's in this time signature. He put this drum beat under it and it's all in key together somehow in these jazz theory practices. It's wild. And as a musician, you watch that, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of like an alternative to that. Maybe it's like, maybe you're like an average athlete or something and you're watching someone like Vince Carter, you know, say, oh, hey, come with me. And then he just does like a windmill dunk. And you're like, how does a human being accomplish something like that? You know, getting the idea, getting the airtime, getting the delivery. It's like human beings aren't supposed to be able to do that kind of thing. Or watching the classic MJ like flying dunk from the free throw line. You're like, human beings aren't supposed to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of like that. And we'll put it in the show notes. So I think him doing stuff like that's what got him more popular. But I also think he's kind of interesting in the way that he's not someone who kind of belongs on a Grammy list. If you look at who's here, you have like Bieber and, you know.
Yeah, it seems
Billie
like
Eilish
it, yeah.
and stuff. It's like so popular, like so. And also, I mean, Billie Eilish, I have a lot of respect for, especially after I watched this Apple Plus documentary about her, which I highly recommend. I don't know if you saw that. Highly recommend it. It's also extremely long. It's almost 3 hours long, but we watched it in segments, but it's very, very good. And it, you know, they followed her for like 3 years.
I only noticed, sorry, but do you notice from Rolling Stones, from Rolling Stone, the magazine, this series, Musicians on Musicians?
I don't think I know.
It's basically a conversation, I wouldn't call it an interview, but a conversation between two musicians, and they put Billie Eilish and Billie Joe Armstrong together in the backseat of a car, and then they had a conversation. It's pretty interesting and pretty funny, actually.
How is old Billie Joe? Is he a cool guy, or?
Yeah.
I mean, I just remember this. I mean, I was always the biggest Green Day fan, but I remember that video of him. I guess you saw this too. Like he was at some major festival. Mm-hmm. They were cutting his time to prepare.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and he has this huge outlandish rant about, you know, like I've been doing this for 20 years or something.
Yeah, sure.
I wonder how old Billie Joe Armstrong is now. How old is Billie Joe Armstrong? He's 49 years old. Wow. 49 years old. And his picture, he still looks like he's 35. Or yeah. I'd still say he's like looks like it mid 30s, early 30s. It's wild, man. I saw some video of him or some picture of him not too long ago, and I was kind of impressed with how young he still looks. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. But you see that with so many musicians or celebrities. But
Yeah, that's true.
Not the kind of, or the, I'm not sure how to put this without it sounding wrong, but I mean the kind of people you would probably expect to, I don't know, have an operation at some point or, Right. You know what I mean?
Or yeah. At that level of like, celebrity, you're probably having some things point. Done.
But
yeah.
I mean, like people, I just saw a video of Guitar Nerd stuff, like a video where they sent a rebuild of the Gibson Les Paul guitar Eric Clapton once gave to George Harrison for My Guitar Gently Weeps for the recording yeah. session, and they, mm-hmm. they made a remake of that, and it's beautiful. It's red, cherry red, and it's like, I don't know, 5 years old, and they bring it to some form of apartment, and like Eric Clapton opens the case, looks at it, has some stories to tell about the history of the original guitar, blah blah blah, and plays it. And the first thing that came to my mind, I just saw this a few days ago, is like, dude, he's been around and having good times in the 60s. Like, look at this guy. Like, it's, I know this already like 5 or 6 years old, but it's like 2014 or something, and how young he still looks for it. Like
Clapton.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Like, how far away are the 60s now? You know what I mean? So, like, oh, not yeah. in actual years, but like also in...
But, him, I mean, for him to be born, like, what, in the 40s or something? That's really insane that he can... Or whatever it was, maybe, like, early 50s or something. But still, that's really crazy. That's really crazy. Yeah. I'm just gonna run to the restroom really quick, and I'll be right back.
Dude.
All right.
Dude, I just looked some things up. Eric Clapton's born in 1945.
45. Wow. So,
and then have World you War seen, II like, had... a few weeks ago, there have been images around of Ringo Starr. Like, he's been at some, I don't know. There were, like, I don't know, pictures of him around social media and... with a caption that all said, like, look at how young he looks. And he's born in 1940, so he's 80 years old.
Bob Dylan, too, turns yeah. 80 or yeah. 80 or 81 this year. Man, that's crazy. I think it's going to be a really, really hard day for a lot of people when Bob Dylan dies.
Probably, including yourself
me.
And me, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because when David Bowie died... I had about a day where I felt like, man, that's real legend. That's a real legend that's kind of gone. But I was also not as close to his entire discography and life and artistic contribution.
Who?
As
Dylan.
I, Bowie.
Bowie, okay.
I wasn't as close to like his contribution and stuff as I am to Dylan. Like, I mean, I thoroughly adore 90% of what Bob Dylan does. Maybe I just haven't listened to much in the last like 15 years or something, but his new stuff, I mean. But yeah, I mean, it's just way, way, way more songs for me that click than with Bowie. But, you know, nothing on Bowie. It's just a different, you know, just a different, they're all chocolate, just, you know, almond chocolate or honey salt chocolate or caramel chocolate, just different chocolate, you know.
Yeah.
They're all delicious, just some of them you want more than others. And I was thinking about that when Dylan passes away. It's gonna be a really, really, really heavy time for people, or for me too. I mean, not that I've ever met him or had some opportunity to like gain any sort of access to him at all, but just reading all these books about him and being such a big fan, that's gonna be a big old heavy day for a lot of people.
Yeah, sure.
And you can expect because I felt this way so intensely last year. So one of my biggest songwriting heroes, John Prine, died last year due to COVID complications. He was pretty old too, but he could have definitely seen probably another decade or so. And he died. And towards the end of his life, he did maybe a tour or two, and I think even some recordings with Kurt Vile.
Mm-hmm.
which are really good. Kurt Vile, basically they play John Prine songs and they sang together. They're on YouTube together. And then I think Kurt Vile did some John Prine recordings and it's all great. I love Kurt Vile and it's all good. I think that all is really magical stuff. But then when John Prine died, I think because Kurt Vile had sort of rejuvenated interest in bringing things out of the past, that then you see all these people covering John Prine songs who perhaps were never fans of him at all until the end.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, Phoebe Bridgers, who I adore. I mean, I have nothing on her. I think she's genius. She, like, last week just released these two Spotify singles, and one of them is a John Prine cover, Summer's End, from his last record that he put out. We have that record here on vinyl and in the living room, and it's, I remember thinking when she dropped that, like, oh man, that's another person who I can't really be sure loved John Prine completely, especially because that's from the last record, or, and it's like the single from the last record, or if it's, you know, someone clicking into the trend.
Yeah.
And when Dylan dies, boy, you better believe Instagram and TikTok are going to be, and Facebook
all
are going to be exploding.
Also good old television, radio, everything.
People are going to be exploding with cover songs, man.
Yeah.
You're going to see, I don't know, Jeff Tweedy on Jimmy Kimmel doing The Times They Are A-Changin' or something, you know? You're going to see everything. It's crazy. Oh, I bet you'll see like a Justin Bieber, like pop version of like All Along the Watchtower or something.
But do you know, have you ever watched the what's it called? The Kennedy Center Honors?
Just for comedy.
Okay. Because I have only watched it for musicians.
Who have you seen? Dylan,
dude,
I guess.
Dude, like so many, like Sting, Led Zeppelin, Albert King, B.B. King, a lot of blues and rock musicians, like all those legends. And the weird thing is, I'm not sure if I think it's cool or not, because obviously, like an honors of any kind of this certain stage, like there's speeches first, but then they open up they turn around to this huge stage, and other famous musicians would cover like music of the people being introduced or getting the Kennedy Center honor.
Yeah.
And in the television version, they always cut images of like all those legends reacting to other people playing their music in front of them or for them, especially.
Yeah.
And there's like some pretty cool, as far as I remember, there's like for every band or artist, like three songs they cover, but in shorter versions, in a kind of medley. And some of them are pretty cool. As far as I remember, there's like when Led Zeppelin got the Kennedy Center honors, like they started off with Lenny Kravitz singing Rock and Roll, this legendary Led Zeppelin song.
Lenny Kravitz?
Yeah, and you think it's weird, but it's...
What?
It's kind of pretty cool, but some of them are...
I guess he was popular at the time.
Are pretty whack. And then there's one where they have the Foo Fighters, but with... I forgot the freaking name of the Foo Fighters singer,
who was Dave Grohl?
Dave Grohl, obviously. God damn, what was that? But that's what I wanted to say, but with Dave Grohl on drums.
Ah, okay. But he was still singing along, just playing the drums. I think, didn't I see some, was that for Ringo? Was that for the Beatles?
Could be.
Maybe I'm confusing, because there is another video of drummers appreciating Ringo, and it has like Questlove and Dave Grohl and a few other people playing like their favorite.
But that's
Beatles
another video, but it's also great
parts. Yeah, that's also pretty cool. I think Questlove does the Come Together one
And you realize he would have never found this world famous drum fill in. Like, and there are not so many world famous drum fill ins. Most of them are kind of the same. If he would have ever learned how to correctly play the drums.
And why do you think that? I mean, are you saying that you think Questlove wouldn't have found?
No, like his Ringo style wouldn't have found it in this one video. They explain it because he played this kind of weird style and open handed style. He would move certain patterns for fill ins or for any drum pattern in other directions, like you would regularly do when you learn how to play the drums.
Oh, I see. He was kind of doing, right, okay. So Ringo was coming up with cooler, like cool, fresh ideas because his structure traditional.
Does this come together fill in?
Oh, he does that like leftover right sort
exactly.
of
only is possible because
thing, right?
of the weird way he plays.
Right. I'm kind of hoping that that's something I kind of have in me as well with my funky guitar chords.
Nobody. It's still so it's like actual pain when I see you playing an A major chord.
It looks to people like it hurts my hand. It looks like it hurts my hand because my knuckles are all bunched up. But actually, it just
hurts my hands as well. I'm standing next to you on stage, and I look at my left hand, and I'm like, okay, I'm fine.
Do you ever have that feeling sometimes when you're around someone who's not breathing?
What? I have not that many experience around people who are not breathing. Sorry, buddy. But take that. But remember that for the next Halloween episode.
What I mean is when you're around somebody who's breathing in a really erratic pattern or a strange pattern, maybe they're upset or maybe they are like coming off of a laugh and it sounds like they're kind of holding breath or they're like stifled breath or like maybe something is like obstructing breath, not endangering them, but just like whatever they're doing for some reason. And you find yourself like privately to yourself going like, like making sure that you remind yourself that you have no obstruction or problem breathing. Do you ever do that?
No, because I have I have such an issue.
Oh, with what? With like, no, like how, the, when do you?
The thing is, I'm breathing pretty loud, and I had a lot of issues with my nose, and I didn't get like through holes. I didn't get air through holes where air should have gone through for a long, long, long time, and still, and I had an operation and so on my nose, but because of medical reasons,
okay.
and still to the day
you were jamming Keras in your nose, weren't you?
No, but to the day, when I'm exhausted, so when I do sports, pretty quickly I can't breathe through my nose properly, and there's some weird stuff going on with my breathing, so I don't have that because I have those kind of issues on my own. I mean, you probably also hear it sometimes on this podcast, a lot of breathing from my side.
Well, I think they can't tell the difference.
And
I don't,
and
I
now
don't
everybody's
hear it over here.
DMing us. Yeah, finally we can say that. It's annoying us every episode. One of you is breathing so weird. And yeah, every episode when I start, I need to do that thing, like to assure that I can breathe properly.
There's that, you know, I'm just writing something down because I want to talk about it. This reminds me of like this funky breathing into the mic and stuff. There's, for those who are into podcasting in general, like for those who don't just listen to this show, but are in general, like into podcasts, you've probably come across The Daily from the New York Times, which is a very popular podcast. And the host of that show is Michael Barbaro. And Michael Barbaro,
freaking legend.
He's a big old podcast landmark, but he has this tick about him that enough people have had a problem with that they've decided to make like versions of the show on their website that cut out these things he does.
Yeah,
but imagine
they actually do that.
Yeah, maybe just for a few episodes, but I know that it became a thing. Enough people wrote in. Basically, for those who don't know that show, Michael Barbaro, he has this very whispery kind of voice, and he really talks close to the mic like this. And it's Tuesday. Here's the Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. And he talks really fast.
You get that pretty well.
Thank you. And what he does that gets in my ear so much is when someone's talking, maybe they're talking about a serious, like, you know, like a conflict in Syria, or they're talking about like a protest where some person was, you know, beaten and sprayed in Times Square or something, like a really big, important news thing.
Yeah.
And whenever someone's talking, it sounds like he's right up close to the mic like this. And it sounds like he's always going,
yeah, even like this. We can ask our listeners, what do you say when we sound like this?
Now it's just going to be an ASMR podcast.
Yeah, probably that's the idea.
Then we can make some money from it. No, but he does this like, and it's constant. It's always constant. It just is, And now you're going to notice it when you hear it next time. They're going to be like, yeah, Michael, it was crazy. We were in the field and we were carrying bodies along with the soldiers to the next landmark over this river, which was covered in blood. It's really insane.
That's where you see where famous podcasters that are doing a great job probably have not gotten the kind of... education for doing interviews for radio or for audio only, because that's one of the first rule that when people show you and teach you stuff like that and you learn strategies on how to lead interviews, etc., one of the first things you learn: never react with your voice to anything your interview partner says, in terms of, do not make sounds like uh-huh or hmm or hmm or yeah or something, because it always gets weird. So like,
oh, I do that. I that's a mistake I make with like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I also still find myself from time to time doing, but then I listen to the thing and it's like, damn. Because you can always I don't know, react over eye contact or whatever if there is need for it, but it can always be interpreted in a weird way, like somebody telling you a really, really harsh story and you're like,
Right, you sound indifferent.
Yeah.
That's the problem with Mike. He always sounds very indifferent. Like this crazy thing happened. We were at the protest and these people were being marched down by these, you know, militant police.
Yeah.
You know, it's always like, shut up, dude.
No.
It's great. But they even made some episodes where they
crazy
where they cut that out. I just wanted to do one more category.
Oh,
to see if you can guess.
One more Grammy category to guess.
One more, yeah, because there's so many, it doesn't make sense.
Where am I at the moment? Did you count?
Five out of four? 3 out of 4. Or 5 out of 4.
5 out of 4? Yeah, 4 out of 5. 5 out of 4.
Yeah, I think it's either 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 4.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're definitely doing really well. But I want to do the last one because it's the only category that really connects to... people like us. It's the best alternative album.
Okay. Who's nominated?
So there's 5 nominations. There's Beck, Fiona Apple, Beck.
It's 2021. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, that's. I didn't even know he had a new album, to be honest with you. There's Beck, Fiona Apple, also a blast from the past. Phoebe Bridgers. Brittany Howard, who I don't know, unfortunately.
No, I also do not know her.
And Tame Impala for The Slow Rush that came out last year.
Okay.
Beck, Fiona Apple, Phoebe Bridgers, Brittany Howard, Tame Impala. If you ask, I will take one of them out of the equation for you.
I'm not sure if I need that because regarding that Tame Impala actually released an album last year after what, 5 years, 6 years? What was it?
Five and some change, yeah.
I guess that must be the call.
Let's just look at them one more time.
Okay.
Beck, Fiona Apple, Phoebe Bridgers, Brittany Howard, and Tame Impala. Remember, you do have a question or a tip.
Okay. Who's definitely out?
Like, definitely out's Tame Impala.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Crazy.
Which is crazy. Regarding, I would have thought they'd be up for it too.
The kind of cluster we saw with how Grammys are being awarded, that would have been the perfect fit.
It would have been a perfect fit. Yeah, there's like two in here I would have said would have made sense.
Okay, then I would say Phoebe Bridgers or Fiona Apple, and I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. So which one of those would you land on? But
I didn't even see that he released something.
I didn't either. I didn't even hear about it.
I mean, to be fair, because I just said, like, come on, it's 2021. You could bring the same argument for a band like The Strokes, but I would.
That's true.
But I would break it down to those three ones: Beck, Fiona Apple, Phoebe Bridgers.
Okay. Yes, you are right by doing that.
Okay. Phoebe Bridgers.
Fiona Apple.
Damn! So close.
I thought when you said, like, yeah, I could do Phoebe Bridgers or Fiona Apple, I thought, oh, man, he's going to get it again. Oh, my God. He's going to figure it out. Yeah, then Beck threw a wrench in the machine and screwed everything up, as usual. Classic
Damn.
Beck move.
Yeah, I was hoping for good. Yeah,
I would have tried to get you to guess which you know, best musical score, but you don't watch movies, so that would be too hard.
I don't watch movies.
Oh my gosh!
And I hang out with a lot of people that don't breathe.
Look at this best. Oh my god! Best contemporary Christian music album.
There's a fucking Grammy for that.
Yeah. Well. Look at this. There's Hillsong, which I guess you know Hillsong, huh? This humongously famous church band, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows Hillsong. Like, if you're into this, like, evangelical church, they're like, I think they're based in Australia. They even toured in Mufadhala. They sold it out. Really crazy. But there's people. Of course, I don't know any of these people. Cody Carnes, We the Kingdom, Torrin Wells. But and Hillsong for contemporary Christian music album, which, you know, it's a valid category. They make a lot of money. They have a lot of record sales. It should be at the Grammys. I think that is a totally valid category. But guess who won? Kanye West.
sure. Makes total sense, yeah.
For Jesus is King.
Yeah.
But I would never have categorized his record, Jesus is King, as a contemporary Christian album.
Sure it is.
Is it really like a legitimate praising of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just like, because he was calling himself Christ for a while, I thought.
Dude, no. But yeah, okay. That's another
Jesus.
Thing.
Jesus? That's kind of his brand, right?
He has got to a new point where he don't refers to Jesus anymore, but more like as a... I would not say a reincarnation, but a new Jesus 2.0, kind of like it's God gave him the mission to reach a lot of people with his message and do his Sunday services and whatsoever. Like, and he builds Christian communities in the desert somewhere. It's some this crazy stuff going on.
Wow. Okay. So he's like communities the Catalina
that live autark with their own farming, etc., and own universities and what. He has huge plans. There are animations of it. It's super crazy.
Oh, dude, Snarky Puppy won Best Contemporary Instrumental Album. You know Snarky Puppy? They're from New Orleans.
I don't know them.
Oh, man, they won a Grammy for Live at the Royal Albert Hall. Oh, man. Do you know that here on my wall, just beyond this microphone, is a handmade drawing that I have of myself, like this sort of like vision board thing, a dream of me playing Royal Albert Hall in some way or another?
Royal Albert Hall.
That's my dream venue, Royal Albert Hall. And I have had that on my wall for like 3 years. And Snarky Puppy just won for their Live at Royal Albert Hall concert. Nice. That's incredible, man. That's really cool.
Have you seen the eels at Royal Albert Hall?
Absolutely, man. That's such a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Such a great, great live performance. I love it.
So many great, also, yeah, more like contemporary performances over the last years from there. Still, like,
there's that moment when Mr. E, Mark Oliver Everett, yes, I remembered, when they play a few songs and then he sort of announces to the crowd how playing there was like always a dream of his, and then he kisses the stage and he said, you know, John Lennon played here. And it's just so,
yeah,
so iconic, man. I would love to do that. I'd love to play there. It's like such a big dream. American Roots. Oh yeah, Black Pumas were up for Best American Roots Performance. Oh, but look at this. Posthumously for Best American Roots Performance was John Prine. What do you know?
No.
It's also kind of, and for me, this is the thing too. It's like when someone gets really, really popular with a young crowd the year that they pass away, you can almost guarantee they're going to win an award. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about Heath Ledger from the Oscars.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman is nominated for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and he's going to probably win posthumously, or he did, I don't remember. And then you have John Prine winning this posthumously after passing away.
Yeah.
He won too. Best American Roots Song and Best American Roots Performance. Two Grammys after you die, nominated for that's really crazy. Oh, wow. Okay, sorry. I'm just kind of, I feel like I'm almost just looking at this and
and only giving us a kind of a sound effect.
Well, it's almost I feel like it's probably annoying for some people, but Best Regional Roots Music Album was the New Orleans Nightcrawlers for their album Atmosphere.
Best Regional American Roots Album?
Best Regional Roots. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even know that genre. Man, there's so many. There's so many things. I mean, you know, when you watch the Grammys, you know, you're always pumped about, you know, whatever the you're mostly pumped for the pop categories because it's the most popular and whatever, and the music, and for me also the soundtrack awards and stuff. They're, you know, it's just like the big names, but there are so many categories. Yeah, it must take forever. Best. Oh, look at this. Jacob Collier won himself a Grammy for Best Arrangement, Instruments, and Vocals for He Won't Hold You, his song featuring Rhapsody. Wow. Okay, yeah, that's it. There's so many categories, it's unbelievable.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Crazy, crazy. But cool, man. I think I'm going to call it here, unless you had anything else on your mind?
No. I only think in Grammy categories from now on. And for today, we're through all of them.
Yeah, today was kind of a relaxed episode, and I hope people still liked it. But it was definitely nice to just kind of have a cool, flowy one. I mean, the Grammys, you know, that was just a recent, you know, it's very fresh. It's a very fresh topic, so it's nice to dig into it. And just a reminder for those who might have been interested. There's this docuseries, Last Chance U, that Mo was watching, and I mentioned this documentary called Hoop Dreams, which is, if you're into basketball, second season, right, of Last Chance U?
No, it's the one Last Chance U Basketball. That's
it's just called Last Chance U Basketball.
Yeah.
Okay. Last Entry Basketball and Hoop Dreams, if you're interested in that. Cool. Then we hope you've enjoyed today's show and that you had some fun with us going through the nominations. And maybe if you guessed right yourself on these categories, you can write in and let us know and we can give you a little trophy on our Instagram stories.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that'd be kind of cool. Yeah, thank you so much. And if you enjoyed today's show, as always, please go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to this show, give us a rate, review, subscribe. It really helps new listeners find us. You can financially support the show at patreon.com/JordanPrince. And if you'd like to follow us or write to the show, you can follow us on Instagram at artsyfartsyimmigrants or send us a good old-fashioned email to podcast@m945.de. My friend Moritz, this has been a real pleasure for me, a nice soul mental cleansing in a way. It's nice to just chat with you and have some fun. And we should talk soon about the next guest because we have quite a few lined up and we could try and do one here at the end of the month, maybe in 2 weeks, or we could aim for April. So maybe we can just talk about later. What you prefer.
Yes, sir.
Nice, buddy. All right, then, guys, thank you so much for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you next week.
This was super fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.